My dearly beloved in Christ, we read, as we often do in the gospel, something about a group called the Pharisees. So who exactly were the Pharisees? Now, there were several different groups that we hear that like to define. You hear about the scribes, the Pharisees, Sadducees, and the Herodians. The scribes were learned men in the law. They could quote scripture. They studied scripture like lawyers. They really knew the law. The Herodians were a political party who were in favor of the Roman government and the family of Herod, who were the rulers. Most of the Jews were very opposed to taxation, supporting the Roman government, but the Herodians were in favor of them. The Sadducees were a sort of religious sect who were heretical. They denied the resurrection. They did not believe in angels, in the supernatural. And they were mainly the more wealthy rulers of the temple, Sadducees. As opposed to them were this group called the Pharisees, which I believe were a larger number. St. Paul even said that he was trained as a Pharisee. But who were they? What did they exactly believe? The Pharisees were a religious sect, like among the priests and the rulers, who were extremely zealous for the letter of the law. But not only that, they added to the law that came from Moses, from God to Moses. And the Pharisees, as a group, developed about 180 years before Christ as a sort of reaction. Now, what happened at that time is there was this very wicked king named Antiochus IV. After Alexander the Great died, his empire was divided up into four generals. And then this Antiochus was a successor to one of those generals. He was in charge over the area of Syria, which included the Holy Land. And he made an effort to stamp out the Jewish religion. He came to Jerusalem with an army, tried to force the people to worship idols, idolatry, to disobey the law of Moses, etc. And as a sort of reaction to that attempt, the Pharisees not only adhered to the law of Moses, but they added their own laws. They came up with more and more practices, had a whole list of requirements for the people. The sad thing about the Pharisees is that they ended up making religion consist in external practices. They neglected the interior, the heart, the mind, the interior of man. And when we think about our practice of our faith, our practice of virtue, there are external things that we must do. We come into the church and we genuflect. We make the sign of the cross. And when we pray, and we should do so devoutly instead of just a swatting of the hand, we should make an effort insofar as external things, how we genuflect, etc., to do them well with devotion, these external practices. But far more important than the external are the interior practices, the attitude of our mind and heart, our love of God, our praying with our heart and not just with our lips. So far more important are the interior parts. But this is where the Pharisees sadly failed. They are referred to as by our Lord as hypocrites. So what is a hypocrite? A hypocrite is one who's in his mind and heart doesn't measure up to what he says he believes. It's all external. He wants to be taken as a very pious and holy person. And so he's only concerned about, again, the exterior, what people see, and is very different in his interior attitude. So our Lord condemned the Pharisees for their hypocrisy. The gospel of today is taken from the 22nd chapter of St. Matthew's Gospel, where this group of Pharisees came to our Lord, and they were always meeting together and trying to devise questions that would trip him up in his speech. And then they would come to him and pretend to be wanting to hear his teaching, and they would throw out a question. And so this one of today that we just read totally confounded them, because they came to our Lord and asked him this question, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And our Lord answered the question, and then he said to them, tell me, whose son is the Messiah, the Christ? And they said, well, he's David's son. And they said, well, then why did David call him Lord? And it said, no man could answer him, and neither did anyone dare from that day forth to ask him any more questions. Our Lord showed their hypocrisy. But we are totally repulsed by this notion that they would devise questions just to trap him in his speech. How hateful is that? This pride on their part, not pretending to want to know his teaching, but trying to come up with questions that they thought they could trick him. They could cause him to say something that then they could use against him. So how repulsive is that, just the thought of that kind of practice? And our Lord condemned them for their hypocrisy. He often pointed it out. But finally, during Holy Week, as he was teaching in the temple, he finally let loose on the Pharisees. And if you want to read it, it's in the 23rd chapter of St. Matthew's Gospel. I'll read part of it that you've heard before, and you know this. He says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but within they are full of robbery and uncleanness. Thou blind Pharisee, clean first the inside of the cup and of the dish, that the outside too may be clean. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you are like whited sepulchres, which outwardly appear to men beautiful, but within are full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. So you also outwardly appear just to men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, etc. There's all these woes pronounced against them. They were so concerned about just the exterior, and they neglected the interior. So let us, on our part, be very careful to avoid all hypocrisy, to be interiorly what we want men to see in us exteriorly, that our interior measures up with the practice of the faith that we perform outwardly. God looks upon the heart. God sees the mind and the heart, and that's what really matters. So let us, as we reflect upon this hypocrisy of the Pharisees, let us make certain that we are in no way guilty of the same. Yes, to practice our faith exteriorly, but above all, to work on the interior, because it is the heart, the interior, that God beholds and judges. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.